First John 4, our final sermon in 1 John 4 tonight. So 1 John is about the love of God. 46 times the word love's in this book. 26 of those are just in chapter 4. So if you had to pick a chapter in the Bible that was about love, this would be the one. 1 John chapter 4. We'll look at the last three verses together, starting in verse 19 of 1 John 4. The Bible says, "We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also." So he first loved us. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray you use your word in our lives tonight. I thank you for it. And I thank you for the power that it has. And I pray the Holy Spirit would use that power in our hearts. I pray, Lord, that we'd again be reminded of what a great God we serve and your desire to love this world through us. And so we commit this to you and pray you'll be pleased in this service. We love you. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. So as we've seen, this chapter is about the love of God. It started there in verse 7. Let us love one another, for love is of God. So the source of love is God. Then it tells us in verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So God is not only the source of all love, but God is the embodiment of true love. And we went on and saw that his love, verse 10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. And sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. So God manifested his love at Calvary. He showed us as humans that he loved us through Calvary. By sending his son, Jesus showed his love by dying on the cross for us. And then God reminds us, verse 11, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And so God's desire is that his love, as we see in verse 12, at the end of the verse, God dwelleth in us and his love is perfected in us. God wants to perfect his love in us and love the world through us. And so, as we saw there in verse 17, herein is our love made perfect. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. So perfect love, as we saw last week, is the absence of fear. The absence of the fear of doing the right thing, of loving the right way, of loving scripturally. And then God reminds us in the last part of this chapter, God initiated all love. It started with God. You know, we often think, well, we love God because of all he did for us. But it started with God loving us. And that's what he says there in verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. Look, if you would, at Ephesians 4, and I want you to see when God loved us. This is quite an interesting concept. The Calvinists love this concept, of course. But it tells us here in Ephesians 1, verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. Now God in his foreknowledge, time means nothing to God, knew who would trust him. And the Bible says that we were chosen before the foundation of the world. So God loved us before he even made the world. That's hard for us to put our heads around, but that's when it started. God initiated love. And this love is, if you go to Ephesians 2 now, God describes this love, verse 4, Ephesians 2, 4, "But God who is rich in mercy for his great love." So this love that God has for us that actually began before time, the Bible says it is great. Remember 1 John 4:11. If God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. He so loved us. How much? Great love. Unbelievable, sacrificial, unselfish love. And again, we were reminded there in verse 9 of 1 John 4 that love was manifested through the cross. John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave. He showed his love through action. He did something. He said, God so loved the world that he gave His only begotten Son. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. So God's love was manifested and Jesus' love was manifested through Calvary. So what is God asking? That we love Him and that we love others. The loving God, according to Jesus, is the great commandment. The great commandment, the greatest commandment, according to Jesus, is to love God. Look at Mark chapter 12, verse 30. And so what Jesus is telling us, God has manifested His love through Calvary. God loves us with this great love. And Jesus now is saying that He wants us to, in return, love God as He loves us. He was first. He loved us first. And we, in return, love Him because of His love for us. Now remember, love is action. So when we hear this phrase, we love Him because He first loved us, what does that mean? God wants us to love Him by what we do. So what do we do? Mark 12:30, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. So what can we do with our heart to show that we love God? With all our soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. This is Jesus speaking. He says, you want to say thank you to God for your salvation? Here's how you do it. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love God in return for what He has done for us at Calvary. Jesus said in John 14:50, if you love Me, keep My commandments. He said, if you want to show your love to Me, show it through obedience. That is one of the ways that we show our love to God, is through obedience. He tells us that in 1 John 5, if you want to turn there, which we're going to look at next week. But this verse is amazing. 1 John 5:3. This is the love of God. What a statement. This is the love of God. Look at the next phrase. That we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. His commandments are not grievous. So that we keep His commandments. This is the love of God. So Jesus told us you need to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. How do we do that? Obedience. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And Jesus, again, if you love Me, keep My commandments. John 14:23, Jesus said, if a man love Me, he will keep My words. So we can show our love to God by what we do. When we obey God, we are saying, God, I love You. That's how it works. So it's not enough to verbally say, I love you, God. They get a lot of that in these happy clappy services, don't they? That's not love. That's expressing something with your mouth. Love is when we do the right thing, when we obey God's word. Now we're saying, God, I love you. You see the difference? Expressing with our lips, there's nothing wrong with that, and we should. But if we don't back it up with our behavior, it's just empty words. So we love Him because He first loved us. And the Apostle Paul, if you go to Philippians 1, he understood this, and he decided that in his life, loving God through his life was going to be his life. Look at some examples here in Philippians 1:21 first. Paul says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He says, I am going to just live my life wholeheartedly for God. That's love. That's love. Look at Philippians 3:7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Again, Paul got it. Paul understood what love really is. Look at the next verse, Philippians 3:8. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Now that's love in action. Paul said, I don't care about anything else but pleasing God. I don't care about anything else but serving God. That is 100% love. When we're 100% devoted to pleasing our Lord through our behavior. So God is saying in our passage here in 1 John, finishing up chapter 4, we love Him. How do we do that? Obedience. When we read that phrase, that's not what we're thinking, is it? We're thinking, well, in return, I show my devotion to God. But that's not really what it's saying. We love Him. We express our love to Him by obeying Him because He first loved us, because He saved us, because He gave us eternal life, because He gave us everything. In return, we give Him everything. That makes sense? We show Him our complete devotion through our behavior. We love Him because He first loved us. And we'll expound on that more next week when we get to chapter 5. Moving on, verse 20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. That's God speaking, by the way. Think about that. Think about how much bitterness is out there among Christianity. Bitterness is the opposite of Christianity. I mean, the root and heart of Christianity is forgiveness, is it not? If it wasn't for forgiveness, we were going to hell. That's what Calvary's all about, is Jesus paying the price of our sin and forgiving us. So if we can't forgive, if we instead hate a brother or sister in Christ, God says we're a liar if we are simultaneously claiming that we love God. You know why? Because loving God is obedience. So we're saying through our behavior that we don't love God because we're not living scripturally. Scriptural living is forgiveness. Scriptural living is there is no bitterness. And so God is saying, how can you, he goes on to say, he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, our brothers and sisters in Christ that we see, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? How can we claim that we love God and attempt to show that love through our behavior? We've never even seen God. We just believe God exists by faith and through his word. And yet we don't love our brothers and sisters like we should, and we do see them. You see what God is saying? Man was created in God's image. And when a person is born again, they are part of Jesus. That's why we call each other brother and sister. Because we are. We're the family of God. We're sons of God. So God says, you're a liar if you claim that. Verse 21, this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God by doing right things, by obeying Scripture, by revealing that love with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, God says that he who loveth God love his brother also. In other words, that we therefore show our love for our brothers and sisters the same way, through loving acts of kindness, constantly doing the right thing with our brothers and sisters. 1 John 4:11, look what it says. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. That word so, it's only two letters, but think about what that means. If God so, how much did God love us? He so loved us, we ought also to love one another. So God's given us the standard. That's why Jesus called it a new commandment. He says, a new commandment I give unto you. In the Old Testament, God had already told us to love our neighbors ourselves. What made it new? When Jesus said, as I have loved you. That's what made it new. He added that and said, yes, you should love your brothers and your neighbors, but I'm telling you, you're supposed to love others as I have loved you. Unconditional, unselfish, and so forth. That's how I want you to love others. Say, well, that's impossible because we're all sinners. And it's not impossible because we have Jesus inside of us. We can do it. So we love Him by doing what? Obeying and loving others through our actions, how we treat them, because He first loved us. That's Christianity, where the rubber hits the road, isn't it? Obedience to God and treating every brother and sister biblically. That's true love. We love Him because He first loved us.